me and my sisters were very competitive. More Crystal, because, you know, I was 10 years older than Rachel, so it's kind of, I usually could beat her or whatever. We arm wrestled, I could take care of her. But Crystal's different. She was, Crystal and I were very competitive, still are. When me and my two sisters get together and play a board game, all right, it's battle. See who wins, no matter what. The other day, my sister Crystal came over, and we got out the old school, I mean the original Nintendo. Good stuff, man. And we were playing Dr. Mario, and I destroyed her at Dr. Mario. And so I was all excited about it, and then she said, let's play hockey, like from 1986. So, you know, we played hockey. She beat me, and it crushed me. No amen. Some things you don't amen, brother. I preached on that recently, all right? But she beat me. And so we immediately, you know, when I lost, it immediately became a 2 out of 3 series. All right? And she beat me again. And I was, you know, I was pretty sad about that. So if you ask her about it, it'll make her day, all right? But then ask her about Dr. Mario if you do, all right? But we've always been competitive, always very much so. And I enjoy that. We just had a Rook tournament over at the men's retreat. Had a good time, Brother Nicholas. We won, didn't we, brother? Oh, yeah, all right. What's that? Undefeated, yes. All right, very good, all right. So we had a good game, but you got a bid to win, right? Yeah, all right, we had to learn that, all right. But we had a good time. I enjoyed that as well. I enjoy watching competition. I enjoy that. And part of it is this. I enjoy, and there's a fine line here, all right, but I enjoy watching people that are confident in what they're doing. Now, pride is a different issue, all right, but when they know that they can do it, all right? If you put me up on a major league mound and told me to throw a fastball, I'd be scared to death, all right? Not a chance. But there's others in this room, all right? I'm sure, you know, Alex would be welcome to jump up there and try to throw a pitch, all right? But, you know, because he's confident in it, I'm not. That's why I enjoyed watching in basketball. My favorite player, still to this day, was Larry Bird. Thank you. All right, yes, now you can amen. All right, yes, all right. But I enjoyed, he was extremely, you talk about, okay, he was prideful some, but he was really good, and he knew he was good. I remember as a kid, in February, I had to look up the date, but on February the 14th, 1986, he was on a Western road trip, and he was bored, because they were beating everybody, and so he designated that game against the Portland Trailblazers. He said, I'm only going to play with my left hand. He's right-handed. And that night, he scored 47 points, 14 rebounds, and 11 assists. It was awesome, right? That's why he was my favorite player, right? In baseball, I always enjoyed watching Barry Bonds hit the ball. I know, all right, yeah. His head went 3 sizes larger. I understand that, all right? You know, I used to laugh because every time he went up the bat, he had a picture of himself on his wristband. That always just cracked me up, all right? On my way back from Florida, I watched a documentary on the little screens there and on the pharaohs of Egypt. That was interesting. Boy, you talk about some cocky guys. Those pharaohs were very, they loved themselves, all right, without a doubt. You know, and so there's a line, all right, there's pride, but there's confidence, all right. My dad taught me years ago, we'd go into a hospital, and we'd be going back to some place, and there'd be that sign on the door. It said, authorized personnel only. It's like, Dad, we can't go in there. And he taught me this. He said, son, if you act like you know what you're doing, no one will ever ask you a question. It's so true. You can walk anywhere you want. Now, I'm not telling you to do it, but you can. If you act like you know what you're doing, everybody's like, and you're like, hey, you just keep on going, all right? I've gotten a lot of places doing that. But, you know, it's just that confidence about you, all right? I'm here to tell you, I want to preach this morning in Jeremiah chapter number 9 on the simple fact that you and I have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to boast about. But we do have something to glory in. And I want to tell you about it today. If you're able, let's stand as we read our scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 9 and in verse number 23. Jeremiah chapter 9 and in verse number 23. It says this, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Father, I pray that, Lord, you take the message today and please use it for your honor and for your glory. I pray again that you would speak to our hearts, put a hedge about this place. May the devil send no distractions. May our mind be focused upon the Word of God. Help us to listen to the Spirit of God today, and may He teach us, may He guide us. And Lord, I just pray if there's any here today that's not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that we as believers today would understand that we do have something to glory in, and I pray you'd help me to express this today properly. And in your name I pray, amen and amen. Thank you, and be seated. I didn't announce it Sunday night, so I will right now, all right? Our Sunday school contest ended, and the winner, I forgot to bring over the plaque. Bummer. But the winner of the contest was Miss Tobbs and Miss Campbell's 5th and 6th grade girls. Nice job. Well done. Barely beat out the 4 and 5 year olds. I already shared that with Miss Jaylen, all right? But great job. Everyone did a great job. Now, I announced that, and Miss Tobbs and Miss Campbell, all right, they, I know them both. They're not prideful, all right? They're not going to walk out of me like, yep, the rest of you pee on Sunday school classes, all right? They're not going to say that, all right? That's not their attitude, all right? But at the same time, all right, they can take glory in that. They're excited about it because they achieved something. You ever watch a team, you know, I coached a couple basketball teams that won our tournament, won the championship, you know, and trust me, we really underline this. There are better teams than you guys. But in our division, right? You won. Not to be prideful, but you won. And, you know, there's a glory there. And I want you to understand what the Bible's talking about here. The fact that this, that you and I can be confident in some things and rejoice in some things and glorify in some things. But of our own and who we are, we have nothing to boast in. In verse number 23, it even gives us a warning. And I want you to catch what man is never to boast in. And understand there's a difference here, right? But in verse number 23, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now, if I could describe to you the world and what is the culture of the world, it's in that verse. Man loves to take glory, I alliterated it for you, in their brains, in their brawn, and in their bucks. That's what people live for today. They want to be the strongest, they want to be the smartest, and they want to have the most. And in the world's philosophy, if you can be on the top of one of those three lists, you have arrived. But man is never to take glory in those things. Say, why not? Well, let's just take each one real quick. Number one, it says, let not a man glory in his wisdom. I don't care how smart you are, there's someone smarter. And I have no idea who the wise, smartest man on the face of the earth is. Compared to me, he's a whole lot smarter. But compared to God, he knows nothing. Nothing. I don't know who the strongest man is in the world. I have no idea. I don't know who has accomplished the most with their hands and can work the hardest. I have no idea who the mightiest man on the face of the earth. I know it's not me. I don't know who he is. But whoever he is impotent compared to the might of God. I don't know who the richest man is. I've seen charts, I've seen people, you know, and names on lists of who has the most money. When we were just down in Florida, we saw big news down there. There's an island. It's a really big island, and it's got all these mansions on it. And what's his name, the Amazon guy, Bezos, he just bought that entire island for him and his family to play around on. Dude's got some money. And I don't know who's the wealthiest man on the face of the earth, but compared to our God, He's nothing. Someday when we get to heaven, we're going to walk on a street made out of gold. But man loves to glory in these things. Man loves to glory. And unfortunately, listen to me, church, today. There's some even in this auditorium that your life is centered on these three things. Yeah. Sometimes you get wrapped up in thinking that life is all about, you know, being the smartest. And I'm all for getting an education. Absolutely. Why? To be used better for the glory of God. My dad always pushed us to do best in our schooling and in college and in high school and do the best we can. And he always said this phrase, because God can use a sharper axe easier than a dull one. So he told us to learn all we can and push ourselves. But education's not the end. There's some people with some serious degrees after their name who are going to die and go to hell one day because they're counting on their own cleverness. There are people that have so many toys and so much stuff. There are people who have worked hard and they have accomplished a lot in their own might that will one day die and go to hell. Because as the Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:7, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Bill Gates has a whole lot of money, a lot more than us. But he believes in a false religion. And I hope he does get saved. But unless he comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, all that money will do him no good. Lance Armstrong, some of you know his name. He won the Tour de France many times. He's a staunch atheist. And all the glory he may have received on this earth will mean nothing one day in eternity. When our life becomes centered around brains and brawn and bucks, you cannot clever your way to heaven. You cannot earn your way to heaven, and you cannot buy your way to heaven. Ephesians chapter number 2 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is not who we are and what we do. The way that we get to go to heaven is because of who Christ is and what he's done. But this world lives for these things. To the typical person living in this world, if they can get the most money, or if they are, you know, can get the most degrees, or they can accomplish the most, or have the most might, or the most power. Man has sought for power from the dawn of civilization. They have battled for power and for might. The Bible describes those three things in this way: the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You and I as Christians are not to love the world. Those three things the world glorifies in. They do. Those three things the world glorifies in. They make lists. You can read them. The top 10 richest men in the world. They produce those. You can find lists. Go ahead and research it, of those who have, you know, the greatest minds. They'll make those lists. They will make lists of the strongest man. They have competitions for it. We like to glorify those things in this world. But they don't make lists of the top 10 people that love God. Because we have nothing to glory in save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the world glorifies these things. And I stop and I pause before I get into the message, because there are too many Christians sitting in God's churches that are living for those three things. And they're one day going to wake up at the end of their life and realize they have nothing to present before the Lord. We have an obligation to glory in one thing, and that is who God is. Let me give you the core why men glorify in these three things. And there's nothing wrong with having a good mind. Amen. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being strong. Amen. I like hanging around strong people that are my friends, right? Yes. There's nothing wrong, you know, with having a lot of money. That's great. Unless you become focused and live for those things. And that becomes, look at me, your God. And you become prideful in those things. And the core root of all three of those things that the world glorifies in is that pride. It's all about me. Look at me. You say, yes, that world is so wicked. It's in our churches too. Man's not to glory in their wisdom, but preacher preaches on something you don't like and you'll try to argue till you turn blue in the face. You're glorying in your own wisdom. You're getting very quiet on me, right? We get upset when we don't get our own way. We're glorying in our own power and our own knowledge. We start getting so focused on building a huge bank account and the most toys that we do nothing to invest in the work of the Lord. Can't find the money to tithe. You're going to realize one day you're serving the wrong God. We're not to glory in those things, but we are to glory in something, the Bible says. Now I want you to see what we are to glory in. And what we are to glory in is found in verse number 24. Now look at this real quick with me. Number one, we are to glory in the fact that we can have a relationship with the Lord. Verse 24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this. So here you go. God is giving you permission to glory in something. First, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That he understandeth and knoweth me. I'm not going to ask men to raise your hand today, because I already know the answer, right? But how many of us men that are married would say, yes, I completely understand the woman's mind? Not supposed to laugh either, right? You could get in trouble. Notice the unmarried people laughed, yeah. You married people have learned, right? Yes, all right? I could ask the ladies the same thing, right? But the fact is this, all right? I'm not about to tell you that I understand, but the relationship every day that you have with your spouse should become sweeter and sweeter the more you get to know them. Who can understand God? It's beyond our comprehension. But I know him better today than I did the day I got saved. And the more I get to know him, the sweeter that he gets. So what are we supposed to glory in understanding and knowing God? Let me just give you two thoughts on this. This will help us to understand what Jeremiah is writing about. That I believe, number one, we need to understand who we are. Who we are. I'm just going to give you some scriptures. Don't turn there. Psalm 40 says this, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Psalm 103, verse number 14 says this, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 5, the prophet says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Romans chapter 3, and verse number 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. I could go on with many other scriptures, but if we're going to fully understand what the prophet here is talking about, what a glory it is to have a relationship with God, we must first stop and remember just who we are. Can I tell you a big difference between preaching in 2019 and 1919? Back then, those preachers made a big deal about God and preaching who God is and how holy he is and how wicked we are. 2019 and most churches today, and I'm putting everything under the umbrella of whatever they call a church, the preaching is focused on how great you are and how much you can accomplish. This world has that philosophy, and it's affected our churches. And it's good for us this morning to stop and every one of us to remind ourselves of just who we are. We are rotten sinners. I am wicked. So are you. That's what we are. The Bible even talks about if you take all of our good deeds that we do and try to impress God, it is filthy rags. That's the best we got. We have way too high of esteem of ourselves sometimes, and the reason is because we keep comparing ourselves with other people. I mean, you start feeling pretty good about yourself because we can all find people that are doing worse than us. I don't care who you are. Now, we ignore the fact that we all can find people that are doing better than us, too. But we like to focus, well, at least I'm not like them. At least I'm not as wicked as that. At least I haven't committed those sins. And we start feeling good about ourselves. And that's where everything's getting off track in our churches today. We need to stop and remember just what we are according to the only standard that matters. That's God. And when I compare myself or you compare yourself to a holy God, we are filthy. We are rotten. We are miserable. We are destitute. We are absolutely worth nothing but dust. That's what we are. The best we got is filth compared to the holiness of God. And sometimes we start feeling really good about ourselves and it gets all of our thinking off track. We need to understand without Him, we are nothing. That preaching is not going to build a church, but it will build a strong Christian. We need Him. We have to have Him. Without Him, I'm going to hell. Without the Lord, you're going to hell. Because that's the best we've got. That's the best thing. We can't get anything more than that because we're wicked. And it's time that we stop and just be honest with ourselves. And how would you like today to share all the wicked things that you have thought this week? The words that come into your mind, the thoughts that come in, the things that you have focused on, and we're all come way short of the glory of God. We're wicked. We're dust. We're poor. We're needy. We're undone. That's what we are. That's what we are. You take God out of Shane Davis's life and he's drunk in a gutter. You take God out of my life, I'm probably dead by now, having died in some wicked sin. Because I know me. I know me. I don't care who you are today. The only reason that you're even here today is because of the grace of God. Because on our own, we're filthy. But the reason why we're to glory in understanding and knowing God is because when we understand who we are, but then we complement that with this, just how much He loves us. That He wants me to get to know Him. He wants me to walk with Him. That God in heaven, we understand who we are. Let's think about who He is. Isn't He wonderful? He's all-powerful. Amen? He's all-knowing. He's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. He's just. I mean, we could go on today and talk. I love, if you want to, sometime this week, read Psalm 104 that talks about how great God is. He is royalty. He is majesty. He is righteous. He is reverent. He is our redeemer. He is a reason. He's our refreshing. He's our refuge. He's our rejoicing. He's everything. God is great. Amen. God is great. God is wonderful. See, we need to step back this morning. This is our problem. And it can even be our problem in Gazzetta Baptist Temple because, you know, we got standards. We, Revelation chapter 2, we abhor evil. We don't want And our problem is a lot of times we even start looking around and say, well, we got more standards than they do. Oh, we've got, we're sticking to the King James. We're doing things through the local church. We're focusing on doctrine. Amen, amen, amen. But understand this, that without him, we're rotten. We're rotten. And we need to take a step back this morning and understand something and refresh ourselves. That there's a God, however low that we are, and we're, he is so high and lifted up. He is majestic. He is pure. He's righteous. He's God. He's the Lord. He's wonderful. He's the mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the great physician. He's the great shepherd. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He is everything. He's everything, friends. He's wonderful. He's great. Amen. Our God is so wonderful. Think of what we are. But what are we glorying in? That God wants to talk to you and I. That God wants to have a relationship with you and I. That God wants to spend an eternity fellowshipping with us. That God loves us the way that he loves us. It's hard for us to comprehend this morning, but you and I should be able to glory in the fact that God would love someone like me. That would want to talk to me and fellowship with me. That would want to spend an eternity with me. And the writer here says, if you don't glory, quit glorying in your wisdom. Quit glorying in your wealth. Quit glorying in the work that you're doing. He says, you need to stop if you got anything to glory in. It's how great that God is and how miserable a person we are. But that God has lifted us up. He wants to walk with us. He saved your soul. He wants to fellowship with you. And it's time we get on our face and say, thank you, God, for loving me, to have a relationship. And then number two, there's something we can glory in today. The scriptures say this, how God has reformed us or changed us. Verse number 24 says, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Second, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. When we understand how and what he has done so that I can have this relationship with him, this is something to glory in. I don't know who has the most money in the auditorium, but that's nothing to glory in. Because guess what happens to all that money when you die? The government gets most of it, and what's left will be spent by your children. You can't take it with you. I don't know who the smartest man in this auditorium is. I don't know who the wisest woman is. But when you die, it ends. You can't take your degrees to heaven. I don't know who is the strongest person in this auditorium. But you will die in your weakness. Your strength will not keep you alive. So we can't glory in those things, but we glory in the fact this morning that there's a God in heaven that wants to have a relationship with me. And then we glory in how this relationship is made possible. You notice that word that it uses in this verse. It says that I am the Lord which exercise. The word exercise means to produce. This is what he has done. This is what he has done so that we can have this relationship. And I wrote down these four things and how this happened. Number one, that he is the Lord. It says there in this verse, I am the Lord. We understand. You say, how did you? Now, everybody take a step back. Look at me a second. How did you and I get this relationship with God? It started, and if you're here today and you don't have this relationship with God, I have wonderful news. He wants to have this relationship with you today. Right now. Say, well, how does this happen? Number one, you have to recognize who he is. That he is the Lord. He is God. Notice what it says here. It says, I am the Lord which exercise. The very first step in me getting saved and getting a relationship with the Lord is I had to understand who God is. That's why this Bible starts in Genesis 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God. So who is he, preacher? He's an eternal God. He never had a beginning, and he'll never have an end. He is a God that can do anything. He is Lord, capital L-O-R-D. He's master. He controls everything. Our God is perfectly holy. See, what flaws does God have? None. How many mistakes has he ever made? None. How many sins has he committed? None. What's the possibility of him committing a sin? There is no possibility. He is perfectly righteous. So we understand the Lord, but then we understand his love. It says there in that verse, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. You see, how did you get this relationship? You say, preacher, you said you are a dirty, rotten sinner. I am. Well, how did you get this relationship with God? I first understood who God is. And when I understand God and who he is, and then I learned in growing up through knowledge of the scriptures that my God loves me. That perfectly righteous, holy God, all-powerful God, loves me. And he has shown his kindness to me. He has shown his love to me. So how is he? He has blessed me in so many ways. He's brought me to places where, again, the knowledge, the scriptures make us wise unto salvation. I was able to hear the word of God taught ever as from a child. One of the first things that I ever heard with my ears after birth was my mother held me and said, Travis, God loves you. I sat in services where I heard only the truth, and I'm thankful for that. I have seen God been good to me, and God's been good to you too. But the greatest thing he ever did, for God so loved the world, this God, this holy, righteous, all-powerful, almighty God, so loved every one of us that he gave his only begotten Son. That perfectly righteous Son of God, that all-powerful God, Jesus, was given for us to have a relationship with him. Time keeps me from going into detail what all Christ went through so that we could be saved. But you and I ought to praise him today that he took all of the punishment and the penalty of our sin upon himself. Because the third thing that I had to understand, I had to understand the Lord. I had to understand his love. But I had to understand this. There's a law. There's a law. Brother Harris, so I don't misread the scripture. Will you read that scripture again? Verse 24. Judgment. There's loving kindness. He is the Lord. But judgment. You see, I had to understand before I could get saved that I deserve hell. And that is perfectly just. Because he is a loving God. He is the Lord. He's in charge. He has created heaven in perfection. So how can I, being such a miserable, rotten sinner, find myself in heaven someday? Because the law demands penalty. I've broken it. I used the story of Daniel at the nursing home this past week when I preached at the nursing home. And everyone knows the story when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, but I focused on this aspect of it, that Daniel had to face death because he broke the law. He did. The law was, as wrong as it was in the Persian Empire, but the law was that he could not pray to anyone but the king. He broke the law. And because he broke the law, the king could not change it. He had to pay the penalty of the law. And so Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, which was certain death. But Daniel believed God. And the Lord brought him up out of the mouth of death, because his faith was in the Lord God. And the Lord God shut the mouths of the lions and brought him out. And then what happens? Daniel's God is glorified. You and I that are saved had the same testimony. We have broken the law. Say, what law? God's law. We've stolen, we've lied, we've cheated, we've committed adultery, we've thought wicked things, we've said wicked things. We are all rotten sinners. We've had other gods in our life ahead of God. We've all disobeyed our parents. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. That's who we are. We deserve death. But praise the Lord when we understand the fact that He is a mighty God. He is the only God. But He has shown His love in sending His Son. Why did that Son have to come? Because I deserve death. I deserve hell. I have broken God's law. And some of us in this auditorium have become way too flippant with that salvation. We kind of just stick it in our pocket and say, yeah, I'm saved, and I'm going to go on and live in my own wisdom and in my own work and in my own wealth. And we ignore what God has done for us. You have nothing to glorify in those three things, but we have much to glory in the fact that there's a God who loves us, gave His Son for us. Why? Because He is the Lord. He can do that. He loves us, and you and I have broken God's law. But praise the Lord when we believe that. And here's where that faith, who God is, and repentance, understanding who I am. And in faith and repentance, understanding that God is a holy God, righteous God, and that Jesus died for my sins. Repentance, because I am a wicked sinner. My sin has separated me and God, and I have to make a choice, Christian. We're saved because there was a time in our life when we said, my sin condemns me. But I choose to turn my life and my heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice this fourth thing. This relationship happens because of the Lord, His love, the law, and then there's life. It says there, in righteousness. What do you mean, life? Romans 10, verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. My life began, I was born again when my faith and trust was placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before that, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Before that, the best I had was hell. But the day that I understood that that God loves me, and that God has given me His law, and I have broken that law, but I believe in Jesus Christ, I was born again. I was given life, and not just another human life. I was given God's life, eternal life. I am hid in Christ now. I'm going to heaven today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here today to glory in a God that despite me, wants me to understand and know Him. That God has done all these things to change my life. But there's one more thing for us to glory in today. And then we'll close. It's in the last part of that verse. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I can glory today in the fact that not only can I have a relationship with God, not only can I rejoice in what God has done for me, but I can glory in the fact that He loves the fact that I'm happy about the fact that He has done these things for me. When you and I in this auditorium this morning, when we look up to heaven and say, God, thank You. I glory today in the fact that You love me so much, that You gave Yourself, that You, a holy God, would love someone like me, and to what all You've done for me so I can go to heaven. God, I praise You today. That God in heaven says, and I love the fact that You take glory in this. I'm happy that He's happy. And he's happy that I'm happy. That's a pretty good relationship. He's not a God up in heaven saying, well, I guess I'll save another one. He's not a God up in heaven that says, do I really have to save that person? He takes glory in a sinner repenting. He is joy and delight in someone coming to know the Lord. So, what are you glorying in today? What are you glorying in today? Because all of us are glorying in something today. If it's the new car, if it's the bank account, if it's my job, my promotion, those are all fine, dandy. They have their place. But if you're glorying in things apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you're glorying in the wrong things. And when we have a correct understanding this morning, look at me, church. We will all bow the head today and say, thank you, God. If you're here today and you don't have this relationship with God, He wants to have this with you. Not only has He provided a way for you to have, He wants to have this relationship. He delights in it. And it's yours through faith and repentance today. The church member, what are you glorying in? You can tell what your life's focused on. You can tell how responding we are to this. I hope that we choose to glory in our great God.